Father, we're here today, and Lord, we just again want to confess to you how much we need you. Sometimes our best attempts are really about us falling back into patterns and habits that we've developed over the years to cope with difficult things in life. Sometimes, Father, we're afraid and we get controlling and we don't want to give things over to you. So we practice old things and old skills, and we're not always changing like you'd like us to. But Lord, we know you have hope in us, so we pray that you'd give us hope. And even beyond that, that you would help us to just know how much you love us, that you loved us, your son, that we're all broken people, that we're all in this broken world, and that we have a personal enemy. But with you, we can be maturing in Christ. It's not going to look perfect. Sometimes it's going to be messy. Sometimes it's going to be funny. Sometimes it's going to be sad. But you still love us. So, Father, for each of us as we come here today, I'm sure we all bring a little bit of baggage. For some of us, it's just a small handbag. For others of us, we're towing steamer trunks. And there's just a lot of stuff that we'd like to get unpacked with you and get put away, so that we can travel a little less encumbered, so that we can throw off all the things that entangle us and we can focus our eyes on Jesus. So Lord, minister to us today. Speak to us, whether it be specifically by your Spirit, whether it be through the worship, something that's said, your word, minister to us. Father, help us to come to grips with being brave enough to trust you completely and to make decisions that will honor you and will help us to align who we are with the truth that's found in your word. And Father, I also just pray that you would revive each of us. End of summer, I know for many people it's been a busy summer and the hot weather doesn't always help. Would you remind us just to simplify, to glorify? Would you help us to slow down and to not feel like we have to keep reaching into the tank for whatever reserves are there? Would you gracefully release us from some of the things that we've maybe committed to that are not part of your plan? Would you keep us from overcommitting to things that are actually distractions and keep us from maybe dealing with what's most important? And would you just give us your yoke? Would we be able to look to our side and see that you're in that yoke with us, and that it's easy, and that it's gentle, and that there's rest for our souls? And from that, Lord, within us, would there come a power that's from you? Would there come an ability to really minister in all of the different roles we have, in ways that would be beneficial for your kingdom and be a blessing to others? So, Lord, we commit this morning to you and the rest of the day and the rest of this week and this month. And we pray that you would keep calling us back to the truths that we've been covering as we look at some of the basics. Father, we love you, and we pray that everything we say this morning would be a blessing to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, we're in, I think, the fourth week of a series called Church, Back to the Basics. If you're new here, we usually work through whole books of Scripture or whole chunks of Scripture. It's just the way we've chosen to do it here in a more expository fashion. But recently, we felt like a number of us thought it would be good to just talk about church and what are the basics, and reflect on our core values here at Riverside Community Church, and to actually use this as we move toward Vision Sunday, which is the second Sunday in September, or is it the first this year? It's sometime in the beginning of September where we kind of set the vision for the year based on what we think God is maybe telling us. And again, would love input from any of you as we go through this series of looking at what we believe and are we putting that into practice, and what would it look like if we made some changes or we did some things without changing our values, but in terms of how we apply them. So the first week we looked at how our culture affects us and our expectations and our participation in church. We looked at the fact that we're consumers as a country and that consumerism affects how we choose a church. We looked at celebrity and that's a big thing in our country and the dangers of that in terms of how we view people and how we view things and put value on them. We looked at competition, and rather than competing with the enemy to win the world, we're oftentimes competing with other bodies of believers or other Christians. And we looked at conflict, and that most of us seem to have enough, or we've had enough in the past, and that we're sometimes not willing to just stay in conflict within the body and work it out with some of the principles that the Lord's given us, but that conflict is normal, it's inevitable, and in fact, I'd say it's even healthy. So that was kind of week one. We also have been looking a little bit from that week at our own personal mission statements and what does it look like for us to be a transformational community with each other, where we're kind of all rubbing off on each other and the end result is that we're more tightly knitted together for the purposes God has called us. Week two, we looked at our first two core values. The first one was prayer and the second one was the Bible. Last week, we looked at worship. And we define worship a little bit differently here. It's more than what we just did in terms of singing songs. It's offering our bodies as living sacrifices every day to God. That's our spiritual act of worship. Realizing that who we are is because of what he has done. And that it's an ongoing process of worshiping God, of sometimes denying ourselves, picking up our cross or those things that might lead to what we feel would be death, and following Jesus. And that has an impact on how we relate to other people. So that's where we're at. And today, we're going to talk a little bit about community. And, you know, when I was a kid, and most of you have come to realize that much of my theology comes from television when I was a kid. I mentioned Batman last week and couldn't help but watch an episode last night. And, wow, wham, pow, Batman, same bat channel. But I was thinking of another show when I was thinking of community. And it's the gripping saga of Gilligan's Island. The adventures of this unfortunate group that only wanted a three-hour cruise. Yes, a three-hour cruise. The weather, it's three. Tour? Three-hour tour. But you would agree that the weather started getting rough. And Tony, the tiny ship, was tossed. And if not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. And in the show, the ship's aground on the shore of an uncharted desert isle with a number of characters. So you can take the skipper, okay? The skipper was brave, and he was kind of a leader, somewhat fearless, but he knew how to kind of take charge of the group. Next, we have the Howells, and they were filthy rich and really good at business and delegating, is my thought. Mary Ann was the comforter and the encourager. Does anyone need a coconut cream pie? She lives in Idaho? Well, had I known, we could have asked her here. Yeah. Tie into that whole first week with celebrity. That'd be good. Do you know where she lives? Okay. And Ginger, you know anything about Ginger? Okay. Ginger was the actress, and whenever people happened onto the island, she always had a way of manipulating them with her womanly charms. That was Ginger. And then there's the professor, and I think he was the forerunner to MacGyver. He could fix anything and do anything, except he could never get him off the island. So, and then last but not least, there's Gilligan. And he had a servant's heart. He would do anything for anyone, and he'd usually mess it up, but it was always done with the right attitude. I think it was a pretty good show, and as I was thinking about this week, it's a real picture of community, kind of forced community, but hey, we're not at that point here yet. Now, they survived because they realized that they all had some complementary strengths and gifts that could work together. And because of that, they were able to handle almost anything that could come their way. They provided for each other. They each had a sense of belonging. They knew that they had gifts and talents that were important. They each felt that sense of support that the others provided, and their lives were intertwined together. Now, I don't know if you remember, but occasionally Gilligan would get upset and feel unloved, and he'd take a little journey to the other side of the island where he had his little cave. This, I think, is the first reference to a man cave, okay? And he'd go in the cave, and then after a while, he just realized, being Gilligan, that he was dying because he was alone. So he'd go back to the other people. That sense of wholeness that came from being a part of the community would just be gone whenever he went and hid in his cave. He knew that he needed the rest of the group, and that together they could accomplish almost anything that they couldn't do alone. It's a picture of community, a group of people maintaining their individuality and their uniquenesses, but coming together as one to live life together and move towards one goal. And in their case, the goal was, we got to get off this island. In our case, it's how do we honor God and build the kingdom as Riverside Community Church? Our core value of community says that we believe that true community loves others as Christ loves us in grace and truth. Christ followers live out their identity within the body of Christ. Every Christ follower is a saint, servant, and steward with unique God-given talent, spiritual gifts, finances, time, and other resources that we are to devote to God and to one another in sacrificial love. Maintaining unity by humbly restoring those who fall into sin and encouraging one another to follow Christ. That's our core value. That's how we explain it. And as we seek to build community, we need to remember God's role, because nothing of any eternal value will happen apart from him. He wants to work to transform us, to direct and empower us to action and to ministry. He'll be the one that blesses our efforts. He'll be the one that wants to work in us and through us. In the early church, this was clear that God was the agent of change and growth, and we need to never forget that, because we can really get caught up with our own plans, with our own programs, with our own approaches, and miss out on what God wants to do. Now, the church is not meant to be a social club, not meant to be a business, not meant to be a form of entertainment, not a fraternity, not a sorority, not meant to resemble a morgue. The church is not even a building, even though we often speak of it in that manner. The church is not meant to be a man-made institution. So what then is the church? It is a creation of God, founded by Jesus himself, made up of those who have chosen to follow him. We become his bride. The Bible gives us several metaphors for what the church is. It's a fellowship, it's a family, it's a body, it's a flock. Fellowship, family, body, and flock. And all of these give us the idea that God's plan is to pull believers together under Christ as a community to represent God and accomplish his purposes. Acts 2:44 gives us just a snapshot of the church. I think it's a great verse. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Two basic building blocks are contained in this very simple verse. To be a community, we must develop togetherness, and we also must be focusing on meeting the needs of each other. These two are essential, and when these two things aren't there, we're not the church. We can become ineffective and busy without accomplishing much. But when we participate in these two things, it provides a foundation by which we're to impact the world. We become an extension of his love and goodness, both to each other and then to the world. And again, true community is meant to become the foundation for outreach, the foundation for the Great Commission. The first building block is togetherness. We were not made to fulfill God's purposes as individuals. I think one of the enemy's greatest tricks, and unfortunately he oftentimes uses religion or church gone wrong to accomplish this is to create isolation among believers, is either through disagreement or through hurt or through sin to cause people to just give up on the church, to give up on Christianity, and to be alone because it's much easier. This was true from the very beginning, that God's purpose was for man not to be alone. If you remember when he created Adam, that was the only issue. Everything else was perfect, everything else was good, but man was alone. So God created woman, and out of man and woman came family. There's your first community. We were made for relationships, and the church is God's plan to meet this need in all of us. Now, we don't have any instances in the New Testament of believers being encouraged to go it alone or to isolate themselves from the body. They are taught again and again that receiving Christ means immediate adoption into the family of God with other brothers and sisters. You know, there's over 35 commandments in the Bible that you cannot fulfill without being involved with other believers. There are the commandments like love one another, and the one another is always referring to other believers. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Accept one another. Greet one another. And it goes on and on and on. The point is that you cannot fulfill the commands of Christ without being involved with his people. And God's plan for this is being a part of a church. Throughout the New Testament, you see that the word church is used. You see the word church used. And only in a few important instances is it talking about the entire body of believers universally. Almost without exception, it is in the context of a local gathering of believers. The New Testament teaches and assumes that every believer becomes fully engaged in a local body of Christians. Now, I've heard people argue that you can be a Christian and not be a part of church or of a community. Well, you can argue that you could be married and you could have kids, but if you never go home, I'm not sure how effective that's going to be. Rick Warren put it this way: the Bible says we are put together, joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and we will be caught up together and spend eternity together. If you're a Christ follower, you're not on your own anymore. You know, there's a great value in coming together and being together. There are those benefits that we've talked about in the weeks prior to this that we can only experience when we are together. And this starts with the church universal, all Christ followers on the planet. That's why sometimes you can go to another country, you can meet someone who you've never had any time with, they're a Christ follower, and suddenly there's a connection because you're part of the same family. But it also includes being a committed part of a local body of believers or the church. And I believe it even goes one step further. Smaller groups of people that gather and study, eat, share, take on projects, care, challenge, encourage, support, and reach out to others. Having basic needs met allows everyone to take part in pursuing God's purpose for the church, to go and make more disciples. Now, the early church understood this. They did things together, and their lives were intertwined and connected with each other. You know, one of my favorite things is the redwood forests in California. And my wife's family has a cabin at Hume Lake, and there's the giant sequoias there that are sometimes 25, 26 foot in diameter. There still is one, the General Grant. It's the largest tree in the world. And then you have the coastal redwoods that are up north, Humboldt, where they did a lot of logging. And you'd think that these gigantic trees, and some of the coastal redwoods are actually 300 foot tall and can be 8 to 9 foot in diameter. I mean, they're absolutely huge. You'd think that they'd have a huge, deep root system to support a tree that is that size, but they don't. Most of the root systems in the sequoias are just below the surface, and they intertwine with all the other trees. In fact, if you dug down, you'd have a hard time separating which roots were for which tree. They just get nutrients kind of together, and then they intertwine and they support each other. And that's why these huge trees can stay standing. It's more than just their own root system. It's kind of a shallow root system. But that intertwining makes the whole grove an organism, and they need each other. What allows them to grow in size, what allows them to stay healthy, is that connectedness. They can grow to a size and magnitude that is unmatched because they are drawing life from the other trees around them. They're drawing support from the other trees around them. And you know, if you dissect the early church or any healthy church or community of faith today, you'll find that the reason that they can support growth, the reason that they can weather storms, the reason that they can have a ministry that extends outside of themselves and looks sacrificial and difficult to many is because that group of people has roots that run together. That group of people is intertwined and supporting and giving nourishment to each other. See that forestry school training? I knew it would pay off for one of these messages one day, and there it is. They've learned the value of togetherness, of being connected. For some of us, we need to expand our definition of church. If we are to understand the idea of community, it's time to change the way that we think about church and our church family. Church is more than a large weekly gathering like this. This is good. This is important. There's a purpose for it. But it's far more than that. Church was never meant to be a program or a time slot. It's not another thing that we add to our schedule or another block of time that we fulfill. We may enjoy it. We may love the people. We may love the time that we spend together. But we must not categorize it along with Little League, movie night, camping, or just another weekly event or a weekly commitment, because it's meant to be so much more. And this is where last year's vision, the Simplify to Glorify, comes in. For us to be the church, we probably all need to be regularly aware of how we simplify so that we can glorify. And I believe one of the things that God intends is that the church would glorify him by being a representative on earth to some extent of the kind of relationships we're going to have in heaven when we're all healed and we're all one in Christ. That we should be living that out more and more here so that those that are in the world are not saying, why would I ever go to church? It's full of hypocrites. Why would I go there? It's just about control. It's about money. Why would I ever go there? Why would I want to be a part of the church? It's a sham. It's a scam. It's this. It's power. It's control. But instead they're saying, I've seen some people, and I know they're a part of this church, whether it be our church or Vineyard or Calvary Chapel or Assembly of God or any church, and they're saying, they're different. They love each other. They care for each other. They have legitimate relationships. In fact, I was with a couple of them helping them, and they got into an argument, and I thought it was going to be the end of the world, and they both just stopped and laughed and said, wait, we're brothers in Christ, and they worked it out. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but if you come help me move somebody next Friday, we'll be there. No. But, I mean, they're seeing us live our lives differently. They're seeing when there's a problem that those from the body of Christ where someone is involved are caring for that person, are looking out for them. Simple things, yard work, house cleaning, meals, fixing a car, taking care of each other. When someone's sad or someone's hurt, going outside of ourselves and loving and caring for other people so that they say, oh, well, if that's the church, I think I want to be more of a part of that. That's what it's supposed to look like. Where they see us transforming and the old people that they knew are no longer the same people because of the work of Jesus Christ directly through the Spirit in us and as we rub off on each other and we love and we challenge each other. They're seeing a difference. In his book, The Connecting Church, author Randy Frazee writes this: the experience of authentic community is one of the purposes God intends to be fulfilled by the church. The writings of Scripture lead one to conclude that God intends the church not to be one more bolt on the wheel of activity in our lives, but the very hub at the center of one's life. They met together, they prayed together, they ate together, they consulted and advised one another. They planned together. They shared together, witnessed together. They encouraged together. They shared everything that they had. They strategized together. They handled conflict together. They worked together. They stood against attack together. And the list goes on and on and on. And wherever it's possible, Christ intends for us to be together. Not just for 2 hours on a Sunday morning, not just during official church meetings, but through the day-to-day course of life. Now, the early church made no distinction between church and life. They were not in separate categories or separate compartments. They were one and the same. And in a way, that makes it a lot easier because they were in a small geographic area. We drive, we go places for work, we're far more mobile. We have many other people that we have great relationships with, and we might even be in community with outside of the church, which is good. It's quite different than when the church was local and everyone lived within maybe a mile of it or less. Acts tells us this in verse 46 of chapter 2. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So when did they meet? Every day. Where did they meet? Started in the temple courts and it went to their homes later on. They opened their homes to each other. They ate together. And boy, I believe that relationships can go to a whole new level over a meal. It's easier to talk. It's often easier to connect unless the food is not good. As we move forward, I always worry about the mayonnaise and the potato salad at cookouts. But that's just me. As we move forward, we've got to grasp the concept that our church and our ministry extends beyond these walls. In fact, sometimes I like the fact that we don't have our own building. Now, trust me, there are many times when I don't like the fact that we don't have our own building. But we don't think as much as other congregations, I think, about the walls, the building, the things that we have, which should make it easier for us to think about outside of here. It should make us think that we're the church, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, more than this is the church that I go to when we think about a building. There are lots of ways that we can deepen our relationships with each other and just build solid foundations so that we can have an impact that's positive on each other and an impact on the world. Get on the phone, call someone who you maybe don't know well, and invite them over for dinner. Well, Mark, that's just awkward. Yeah, but it can be really fun. Invite me for dinner. I'll make it fun. Think about, if you look around, do you know everybody in here? You know, and maybe you get 5 or 6 people together. Go out for pizza. Maybe you know a young family that you've kind of connected with in the church. Do you remember what it was like to be young and have kids? I can remember having 4 kids under the age of 6 and 5 kids under the age of 11. And we were always blessed with having family nearby. So frequently, one of us would get a terrible illness just so my mother-in-law would take the kids and Janet and I could have time together. No, but you, now that Janet and I are older and our youngest is 11, 12, boy, I can remember what it's like for young families. Maybe you call a young family, and as long as they know you, say, hey, let us watch your kids. Why don't you guys go have a date night? Maybe you're a younger family and you're really good at doing yard work or doing something and you show up with your kids and say to an older couple, why don't you two go have a date night? We'll do your yard work this week. Maybe you just get together and find out about each other. Say, do you know any famous people from Hollywood? Well, Marianne from Idaho. Whatever it might be, look around at the opportunities that you have to bless somebody else in the body, to get to know them better, to provide relief for them, to support them. You know, in the early church, community came from a large group setting, the church, but it also came from all those intimate settings with people sitting down together. And both ways of building relationships are essential. Togetherness is an essential building block to community. And the second building block that was in verse 44 is the meeting of each other's needs. It says, all the believers were together and they had everything in common, or they held everything in common. And what this means is that they established a common fund. Some of them would sell property. If they had excess, they'd sell it. And they had money in a pot to help with the needs of those in the body, financially, or for food, or whatever. So they cared for each other in practical ways. And we covered that quite a bit the last week. And, you know, I just submit this to you, that relationships are necessary for us to be aware of the needs of others in our body. If you don't know other people, you're probably not aware of what they might need physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, practically. So there's not a way for you to say, oh, that's a need that I could help meet. This is a way that I could encourage them. You know, it's kind of like marriage. Get myself in trouble here. Before you get married, the back rubs are a little longer, and you think a lot less selfishly. And maybe this is just me, but I don't think so. I've done enough marriage counseling. Because you're focusing on what is it that you can do to cause the person that you're going to marry to still want to marry you when that day comes. So you're thinking more about what they need and how you can meet that need. Would you all kind of agree? Why is it that after marriage, the back rubs, at least in my case, got shorter? I mean, Janet didn't get her hands stuck in a door that was closed fast. Why is it that I was not as attentive to what some of her needs were? I think it's part of our human nature to become more of selfish survivors along the way, looking at how do we make sure our needs get met, rather than how do we look to the needs of someone else, trusting that they're looking to our needs. I believe marriage, when it's best, includes us looking to Christ, and for me saying, as a husband, what is it that my wife needs this week, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, socially? How is it that I can be a blessing to her in those things? And I'm trusting that Janet's looking at those same things and that we're outside of surviving and more outside of knowing each other and supporting and living. And I believe that that's the way the body's supposed to work. You know, if I'm focused, and I try to be, on as many needs in here as I know of and how I can either meet them directly or indirectly or encourage someone else to do it, it's amazing to me how my needs get met. I really don't have to worry about a whole lot except for, you know, the occasional meal that I might miss, and that's probably a good thing for me anyway. But we tend not to think that way. You know, when we come, we're usually far more focused on, here's where I'm hurting, here's what I need, rather than coming and saying, wow, I got the Spirit in me, I've got Christ, I'm a part of this body. I want to look for some needs so I can at least be praying for people and maybe even do something really practical and simple. It'll just be a blessing to someone. The second one's the way I think we're, well, without the giddiness, obviously, but you know what I'm saying? We're to come with that kind of a mindset and know that because we're part of a body, as a member of the body, that we're important, that every part of the body is important, and as we look to the needs of others, we need to be able to trust that others will be looking to our needs. You know, one of the greatest pressures I feel as a pastor, and I think some of this is just tied to how God's made me and the way my DNA is I can look around this room and believe it or not, unless you're pretty new here, I have a pretty good sense of some of your needs, some of your hurts. I know when there are situations that are difficult, and it breaks my heart because for some of you, you're not really connected with many other people. And I'll wear myself out sometimes trying to care for too many people. And I don't mean that as a self-aggrandizing statement. I have a shepherd's heart. If I have a choice between writing a message or trying to care for somebody practically, guess what I'm going to do? I also like to do manual labor. So if it's writing a message or fixing your car, well, I don't really like mechanics anymore. I can't see anything. But you understand what I'm saying. I'll deviate toward those things that are more in my comfort zone. But that doesn't always fit if I do too much of that. So what breaks my heart is that I frequently feel like there are so many needs that people in here have that go unmet. There are people in here that are lonely, that are hurting, that are broken, that maybe put their best foot forward or put the happy face on Sunday, and some of that is okay, but they really need relationship. There are people in here that are exhausted, that are tired, that are really struggling, even with, why do I keep coming? We need to all do a better job at being a part of community. We need to be looking out for the needs of one another. And I struggle with saying this a little bit, because I think one of the things for me is I recognize some of the abuses that occur in the church where it's easy for it to become a religion. Where I know that as a pastor, it can seem like I'm most concerned about numbers because it relates to dollars, it relates to success. I really don't care about those things. I care about health. I care about making sure that we are biblically trying to work the way God designed it. I want to make sure that there's not a person that comes here who starts to get involved that doesn't feel like they have a way of connecting, that people aren't reaching out and caring for them. And I think that's something that we need to look at more and more. Now, the other thing in our church, and boy, I don't want to discourage this. I know a lot of you are in communities outside of people that attend here, and that you care for them, and that they care for you. And that's a good thing. So this is not a, you know, controlling thing where all your relationships have to happen in the context of here. That would be ludicrous. I have many relationships and people I relate to outside of here. But make sure you're in a community somewhere. Make sure that there's that reciprocating process where you're doing some life together, where you're known and you're able to be vulnerable, and others are able to do that with you. And it's all for the glory of God. Over the next 8 weeks, there's going to be a number of small groups starting. You maybe already are in a small group. You may have something that you're already doing. But one of the things that we feel we dropped the ball on a couple of years ago and we started working on last year was providing more small group opportunities. So on that table in the back, over the next 8 weeks, there'll be a number of new groups that are starting. There's going to be a women's group in the evening, and there's going to be a women's group in the morning that has some childcare. And there'll be flyers back there. We'll try and announce each week. You can look in your bulletin. There's a section there about new groups that are starting. I know that there's a group that's trying to get started, and maybe it's already set to go on kind of Western Meridian over into Nampa, Canyon County, Star. Not as far as Caldwell, though. The clients, you can't be a part of it, Josh. I'm sorry. No. And you'll hear about that one. I know we're looking at starting a group on Sundays after church again to start going over the messages. And I had a blast doing that with the group of people that we last did that with. There'll be other groups that will be starting. And we have fellowship groups already running, some Bible studies, some dinner potlucks. Ephesus starts in September. And there'll be brochures back there. You can go online and find out about some of the groups at other churches that'll be starting. We're probably going to start one in January that will meet here and be led by some people that are part of our body, and we'll let you know about that. So I really want to encourage you, if you're not plugged into a small group somewhere else that's life-giving and where you're giving life, really look at that as maybe a first step. And if you are, boy, pour yourself into that community. I really believe that where the rubber hits the road for Christianity, where we get to do life and practice Christianity, is in those smaller segments where there's not a talking head speaking, but where we're all having an opportunity to share and to give input and to love. And if you feel like you've been here for a while and you haven't been able to connect, or you know, you're wondering how to do that, I would love to chat with you and do my very best to help you to get connected with a group of believers. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your plan, which was for us to be your bride and to be in an intimate relationship with you. as your church. And Father, that also meant that we were to grow in our relationships with each other. And Lord, I've never been a part of a church that I feel is better suited for being able to practice community. Many of us come from some pretty deep wounds from other relationships, some of our Christianity in the past, and even places where those, I'm sure, with good intentions in the church and in organizations have acted in ways that maybe did damage to us. And it just sometimes seems questionable as to whether or not it's worth taking the step again to get back involved with other people, to be able to both give and receive in relationships with each other. Lord, I feel pretty certain, like 100%, that that was your plan, that we would be your body and your ambassadors and your representatives as individuals, but corporately here on earth. So, Father, my prayer for each and every person today would be that they'd be able to sort out some of the things that I shared, sort out what you've been speaking about them, what you've been speaking to them about regarding community, and help them to make decisions that would move them forward where they feel like they're a part of what you've planned for your bride. So, Lord, we would ask that as we do this, that we would have that blessing of being in real, legitimate community where there's safety, there's grace, but there's also truth and maybe even support as we work through some of the consequences when we maybe act inappropriately or make wrong choices. Would you help each of us to focus on how we can be Christ to each other? Father, would you just change us? Help us to recognize how important that process of being in community is to us changing. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, just encouragement. Maybe even a challenge. If you're in a community, figure out how God wants to use you to impact those in that community, to love them, to care for them. And if you're not somewhere, begin to ask him to show you where and how you could plug into some form of community so that you're not alone. Amen?